Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein here with John Hockenberry. New details emerging today on the U.S. role in killing dozens of civilians in airstrikes in Afghanistan early last month in the western province of Farah. Our partner, the New York Times, has an exclusive story about a military investigation that suggests U.S. air crews did not follow instructions specifically put in place to limit civilian deaths. Had they done so, several of the airstrikes targeting Taliban rebels would have been aborted and many more lives could have been saved. Joining us now is New York Times reporter Eric Schmidt, who co-wrote the story in today's paper. Good morning, and welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good morning, Andrea. How are you doing?
Great to talk to you. Remind us what happened in Afghanistan last month and what the U.S. government said at the time.
Yes, what happened was on May 4th in western Afghanistan, there were some Americans out with Afghan National Police and some soldiers, and they were ambushed by Taliban militants. The Afghans called in more American ground reinforcements. The Americans, in turn, called in American air power, airstrikes against some of these Taliban targets. And in the resulting 7 or 8 hour firefight, there were many dozens of Afghan civilians killed. There's a dispute as to how many. The Americans say, the American military say, maybe 20 to 30 were killed, and it was the Taliban's fault, basically, for firing on Americans who in turn had to call in these airstrikes. The Afghan government, however, has put the total closer to 140 civilians killed, which the Americans dispute. So what happened was you had an investigation, two investigations, actually, by the American military into the events of that day.
And they found out, the investigations, that is, and this report that you got a hold of, that the initial U.S. response wasn't quite accurate. Is that right?
That's right. What's happened is because of concerns of prior incidents involving airstrikes, the American military and NATO in Afghanistan have set up some very strict rules by which the United States uses firepower. These are called rules of engagement. And these are designed specifically to prevent civilian casualties. And what the investigating officer has found is that apparently in the heat of this battle, the U.S. forces, both in the air and on the ground, did not fully follow these very strict guidelines.
Now, this seems to be a pretty open acknowledgement by an arm of the U.S. government of fault. Is that a signal of some kind of shift?
Well, I think it is from where they've been, of course. Up until now, the military has primarily blamed the Taliban for basically creating this kind of catastrophe on the ground by knowingly going to places, compounds and places, housing compounds and villages where they knew there'd be Afghan civilians, firing on both American and Afghan troops as well as the aircraft, knowing that would draw fire upon these places where civilians had taken shelter. But what's new here is that the Americans are acknowledging for the first time that there were procedures that weren't completely followed that may have contributed to these deaths. They're still standing by their assertion that the Taliban is ultimately to blame, but they're also saying that these very somewhat complex rules that have to be decisions have to be made by commanders on the ground in a matter of split seconds. Some of these were not fully followed, and that may well have, as you pointed out, led to airstrikes that could have probably been avoided.
Eric, I wonder if this is an issue of too much reliance on air power in Afghanistan and whether there's a policy shift or not, that the tactics really don't match the mission of trying to win the hearts and minds in Afghanistan. And whatever the U.S. does, whatever the nuances are, it seems like they're continually getting this wrong and giving critics an opportunity to say the U.S. is just not being honest here.
Well, that's certainly been one of the criticisms and will likely continue to be that the U.S. is overly reliant on airstrikes. Interestingly, yesterday here on Capitol Hill in Washington, the newly appointed commander, American commander in Afghanistan, Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal, was questioned by senators about this approach, many of whom are skeptical about the use of air power in Afghanistan. And General McChrystal basically said that the airstrikes would continue, that they were an important part of the mission, but that the strikes had to rely on more precise intelligence and had to be more carefully executed. So I think what you'll probably see is there will continue to be these kind of strikes, but the Americans will try and they just obviously be much more careful on the ground, as we've seen what happens when they go awry.
Is that an achievable goal? I mean, this issue of sort of, well, if the Taliban hadn't been, you know, firing at us from inside a town, I mean, that sounds like an awfully tired military excuse, and it doesn't really make a difference to the families of the people who are getting killed.
It is. It's a very difficult balance. As one commander told me yesterday, you're on these young officers on the ground who are basically facing this choice of when to use lethal force to defend their troops who are under fire versus holding back in the fear that you could cause civilian casualties. And again, these decisions are having to be made on the ground in a matter of seconds. And so it may well be that you're just putting too many rules on the ground to try and thread the needle here to both achieve the goals of airstrikes, but also prevent the downside of what happens when they miss.
In your story today, I detected a whiff of skepticism about Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal and his history of overseeing special operations in Iraq. Do I have that right in a few seconds?
Yes, there have been some concerns because he, as the head of the Joint Special Operations Command, was in charge of these commando teams that were in both Iraq and in Afghanistan, hunting down al-Qaeda, and in some of the detention camps, in fact, some that we've written about in the New York Times, there were several reports of abuse. None of these have ever been traced back to General McChrystal himself or having any kind of personal responsibility, but these were questions raised by senators and obviously will be a continued source of concern.
And we have to end it there. Thanks very much, Eric Schmidt, reporter for the New York Times. You can read his stories in today's editions. Mm-hmm.